Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Pat Mulroy joins us. She's a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West. She's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always delighted to have back on the program Pat Mulroy. She is a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Pat.
Delighted to be back, Sam.
Brad Kroll, as you probably know, has been on the program a couple of times now. And we've been talking to him about water issues, obviously your great area of expertise. It seems to me that under this administration in the state of Nevada that we are seeing a complete change in the way that we look at water. Is that a fair statement, do you think?
How do you mean?
The laws are going to be changed. That, for example, you were a part of the pipeline process that was going to come from Northeast Nevada to Southern Nevada. Senator Reid famously said on this program that that was the most important thing for the Chamber of Commerce to get done before he stepped down as the Senate Minority Leader. And now we're seeing that that project appears to be essentially shut down. And the governor is in full support of that. People on the Clark County Commission are in full support of that. And we're just seeing water issues across the state seeming to have a much closer eye, and environmental concerns are taking precedent over population and uses.
Well, that's been an evolution. I don't think that is necessarily this horrific transformation. I think it's been an evolution. The environmental considerations have always been there. They have just become increasingly more important. I think the reality that Nevada's grappling with, I can remember back 25, 30 years, it was Nevada, Northern Nevada has all the water it could possibly ever want, right? I think the limitations of that are starting to become all apparent. And so I'm not at all surprised that people want to change some of the laws and look at things a little different. One thing I've learned about water law, it's a long way from wanting to change something to actually getting it changed. So let's see what happens. I've learned never to say never, but I'm not at all surprised. And for Southern Nevada, I hope John's strategy of being able to supply the valley from the Colorado River works. I mean, we did it in 2000. We walked away from the in-state project in 2000 because we thought we had ample agreements in place and enough flexibility that we would be able to get all the water we needed from the Colorado River. Well, then came the big drought and things changed dramatically. And so all of a sudden the project was back on the table. So these kind of projects in the West are very much cyclical. They will come and they will go. And what tomorrow brings in many ways is going to be the result of what climate change does to Nevada.
I think one of the things that you know, I like to bear in mind is that you know, John Etzminger of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, who had replaced you as the head of that, you know, had said that this was part of the 50-year plan. It was not something that was going to occur tomorrow. It was, you know, as needed. And my thought is that whatever politician is in office because of term limits is going to be long gone before we get to 50 years. So there can be lots of changes that occur along the way. So when people say that a project is dead, well, yes, it might be dead, but maybe for a decade, maybe for 20 years. But if the need is there and the money is there, then potentially that project could come back. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, I think the emphasis is going to be on creating resiliency in the Colorado River. Because, Sam, if you look at it from a very stark reality perspective, there is no way that river can be allowed to crash. If it crashes, the consequences aren't just going to be felt by Nevada. They're going to be felt by at least all three lower basin states in the country of Mexico. And given what hydrology has been doing, the upper basin is going to suffer equally. So we have got to have gone into a far worsening set of hydrologies than we're experiencing today. I know that the negotiations on the river are going to be ratcheting up here in, I would assume, next year, in working toward 2026 and the renewal of the shortage guidelines. Something has to give on this river. And I think over the years, the various states have gotten much, much better at working together. And there has to be a solution for the entire river. Now, ultimately, that river water is going to have to be augmented. There's going to have to be something, whether it's shared reuse, whether it's ocean water. Something has to happen to be able to create the resiliency in that river system that seven states and two countries desperately need.
So do you believe, because, you know, I mean, I as an observer, you as a participant, have watched just the Truckee River operating agreement took 30 years to complete. And now you're looking at, you know, seven states and two countries, a federal government that can't figure out how to pay people unemployment in a timely fashion in the era of COVID, and the worst partisan rankings we've seen, rancor, I should say, we've seen. This you have talked about on this program before, that the states have been better at working together to resolve issues along the Colorado. But doesn't it need the federal government to really, you know, put its stamp on this to make it work? And do you see that as reality or as a necessity?
One thing I learned a long time ago, Sam, is when seven states with 14 senators approach the federal government of both parties, this issue somehow takes on a life of its own. The water issues in the Colorado, at a minimum there and in many other parts of the West, have really transcended partisan politics. Because the simple reality that failure's not an option is something nobody can avoid. And so when you look at your options and whether you have the bandwidth to be able to play political games within the space, you find out real quickly that that luxury is not afforded to you. So I have been pleasantly surprised, and I have come to rely on the ability across party lines, across state lines, with seven different cultures and two countries. Nobody thought we could get to the 2007 shortage agreement, when the drought hit us really badly in 2002. Well, in 5 years, seven states transcended their politics, transcended their partisan divides, and were able to make it happen. Look, DCP, in the midst of all this turmoil and this partisan divide that we live with, the drought conservation plan or drought contingency plan that was adopted last year made it through. It not only made it through the seven states' approval processes, all of which vary, it also made it through Congress. So I'm incredibly optimistic that since failure is not an option, these states will find a solution and the federal government will go along with it.
Do you see any ability? Well, I mean, you've said on the program before, you can't stop growth. So at what point do you see the necessity to gain additional water supply for Southern Nevada? If climate change continues in the direction it's going, however way you want to look at it, I mean, obviously, you know, we're not seeing the amount of water going into Southern Nevada increasing. You know, when do we hit a breaking point? Or are we already there?
No, I don't think we're at a breaking point. But I do think, look, what the climate is going to deliver to us, we have no idea. It, you know, you're working into the cone of uncertainty. You have no idea whether it's going to get better, whether it's going to get worse. Things are going to change. If we stay relatively on the same path, the states have the luxury of being able to figure out how ag conversions can begin to happen, how augmentations can begin to happen. And Southern Nevada has been so successful at conserving, and I've always been incredibly proud of the residents of Southern Nevada, that I don't foresee us running into a real problem. Now, does that mean tomorrow we can't see a dramatic downturn? And for example, today Lake Mead is at 1,086 feet. It's full of 1,200 feet, right? So it's a stressed system already. If we hit a wall and we have 3 or 4 or 5 consecutive years of the kind of hydrology of 2002, there things are going to have to change. That to me is near catastrophic.
When you talk about changes in agriculture, are you thinking in terms of, for example, California having less agriculture than it does today?
What I'm seeing in California is there have been some very creative partnerships between the Metropolitan Water District, which has really come out as a leader in a lot of this Colorado River change evolution, if you will. They have entered into agreements with the Palo Verde Irrigation District. They've entered into agreements with the Imperial Irrigation District, whereby there is some temporary fallowing or reduced water use in those areas, and that water gets left behind and stored in Lake Mead. I think that's the future. You don't want to wipe out agriculture completely. There are enough storage opportunities, especially in the lower basin, to be able to manage storing water and giving yourself essentially a savings account to get through the rough years. I think that's the future. And so it's a partnership between ag and the urban area. You never want to completely abolish agriculture. I mean, there have been communities up in Colorado where, I mean, you start plucking away the farms and the entire community collapses, because their whole economic structure is built around a vibrant agricultural sector. So you have to be very careful, but can you partner? Can you enter into rotational fallowing? Can you enter into leases, short-term leases that afford you the opportunity to store water in Lake Mead or Lake Powell or any one of our other numerous reservoirs? The answer to that is yes. And if we can do that, then we can build in a high level of resiliency far above what anybody had ever hoped for.
All right, let's take a break. More with Pat Mulroy when we come back.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Mulroy. She's a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West. Wanted to ask you about the project that's on the Humboldt River that they're trying to get off the ground, where they would take floodwaters from the Humboldt, store that water, and then later sell it when a need arises. What's your thoughts on that? Good idea, bad idea?
I think in some modified version that would work. The problem is those floods are pretty unpredictable. You're going to have to build, unless you've got the reservoir capacity up there already, you're going to have to invest in infrastructure that is not always going to be used, which a lot of water infrastructure these days isn't. Whether you can, it's almost like a spot market then, isn't it, Sam? You buy water on the spot market when you need it, and then you bring it into your community. It's not something that necessarily an urban planner would rely on, because whether or not you have floodwaters is a pretty iffy proposition.
And if we're looking at this, should we not be also looking at the terminus of rivers in the state of Nevada already? The sinks that we already have, the Carson Sink, the Humboldt Sink, those are places where the water, after flood irrigation for farming, just goes into the ground. Shouldn't we be looking at those?
Replenishes the groundwater basin. That's the cycle.
One last thing on water, for today at least, is that we're seeing the lining of the canal that goes from the Truckee River to Fallon. And so Fernley is concerned because they have taken, you know, the water that has leaked out of that canal for years as part of their water supply. And now they have concerns that it's going to be much more expensive for the people in Fernley. What do you think about that?
There are always consequences, Sam. It's exactly what happened when the Imperial Irrigation District in San Diego lined the All-American Canal. All of a sudden, the seepage water, 60,000 acre feet worth of seepage water that always went into northern Mexico, disappeared. And were there consequences? Yeah, there were consequences. So, you know, I think it's something that in the lining of a canal you need to think about. It never is as simple as just lining a canal, quote, conserving water for the end user of that canal, because a lot of groundwater recharge, a lot of secondary users have come to rely on that.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back and we'll change hats to your gaming hat after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor.
Come visit Design Outdoors store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Mulroy, who is a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West and also happens to be a board member of Wynn Resorts. And I'd like to turn our attention to Wynn. The stock price in the last 2 days has jumped dramatically. Is this based on the fact that China is starting to open up a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. It is largely a function of Macau beginning to open up, because so much of all our, the U.S. companies that are over in Macau is reliant on that Macau revenue. So for us, it's a large portion of our revenues and profits. So yes, opening up Macau makes all the difference in the world.
Matt Maddox appears to have become the gaming leader in Las Vegas with MGM and, you know, the difficulties that they've been going through, and Las Vegas Sands not really wanting to take that leadership role. And I don't know Mr. Maddox, but I respect the position that he has taken. What were the big lessons that Wynn Resorts learned from Macau and COVID that are helping with what they're doing in Las Vegas?
Oh, there were any number of lessons that we learned in Macau. And I agree with you. Matt has done an extraordinary job. I think up and down the strip, he is recognized as the industry leader. One of the things we all learned in Macau was to go after containing the virus early and do it aggressively. So we were one of the first to close our doors and say, nope, we're going to help be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And then we know we're very good now at shutting properties down, which, although it sounds simple, by the time you clear all the chips out of the cage and you account for all the chips and you deposit all the monies and you have it verified by the various gaming authorities, and then you have to open up again and restock and do everything all over again, it is quite an intricate process. And Macau taught us how to do it efficiently and do it in pretty short order.
Are you in fear that this is going to happen again in Nevada?
I think, look, one of the effects of climate change is pandemics. We've known that all along. I think we're going to see, as a globe, we're going to see more pandemics. And I think this is like a great lesson for us. How do we handle pandemics? We should look in the rearview mirror as we're coming out of this pandemic, once we have a vaccine in place, and say, what did we do well? What did we not do well? How can we improve what we're doing? I think those lessons are going to be all important, not just for the gaming industry, not just for Las Vegas, not just for Nevada, but I think for everyone around the world. We can't go through this cyclical, shut the economy down, bring it back, shut the economy down, bring it back. It won't work. So how do we smooth this around the edges? How do we find a 21st century way of dealing with pandemics that we will see again? And most scientists in the climate space are saying they're going to happen more frequently.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but that sounds like a very scary future.
Look, there's nothing pleasant about climate change. I don't care whether it's drought. I don't care whether it's flood. I don't care if it's pandemic. I mean, it is a massive transformation in how we view the world, how we live, how we manage within our economic structures. This is going to redefine how we as civilizations exist on this planet.
And we have to end on that note, and I didn't even get to Elon Musk and the Boring Company. I have so much more to ask you about. Can we make a date for about a month or so from now and have you back?
Absolutely, I'd be delighted to.
Pat Mulray, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, even though you've scared the heck out of us now.
Thanks, Sam. Didn't mean to.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.